Current State with Mark Bayshore. You're listening to WKAR. Tonight's Lansing Symphony Orchestra concert launches their 85th season. The program includes works by Gandolfi, Brooke, and Tchaikovsky. WKAR classical music host Jody Knoll talked with LSO music director Timothy Muffet about tonight's Masterworks 1 concert and the soloist for the program, Evgeny Kutik.
You've chosen a short piece by American composer Michael Gandolfi to open the concert, but it's from a much larger suite. Why did you give this piece such a prominent spot in the program?
Well, I just think it's a great season opener. Last year, when it was about time to plan programs, he kept popping up, including on your fabulous radio station here. I was in the car. It was one of those driveway moments. I had gotten in the car, and the piece was already in progress, and it was a chamber work. And it just really grabbed me as an extraordinary, fresh voice. And so I sat there, and it was Michael Gandolfi. And that was just a few days after my sister had just told me about a great work of Michael Gandolfi's that she had heard out in Boston. And so I started to explore it. And what I want with a season opener is something that everyone's going to love, that is going to set the tone for optimism for an exciting season and be a really uplifting experience. That's what we do. And I think this piece fits that bill.
Willow Twist kind of sounds to me something like Philip Glass meets John Williams.
Oh, very much.
Is that true of a lot of his music, or is it just this piece?
There's definitely a populist bent to his music, and there's a minimalist bent to it as well. And this, I don't know this entire work. It's from a larger work called the Garden of Cosmic Speculation, which is actually a real place. And there's a lot of physics and metaphysics that are behind this piece. And getting to know this particular work, Will-O-Twist, has really kind of piqued my interest in the entire piece. I would have never thought of presenting it. It runs over an hour long. But you may hear more of this as the years go by, just because I love this one so much.
The next work on the program is Max Brooks' Violin Concerto No. 1, not only the composer's most famous work, but also one of the most beautiful and melodic violin concertos ever written. Violinist Evgeny Kutik is guest soloist for the piece. But before we talk about the Brook itself, let me ask, how do you choose soloists like Evgeny Kutik for the LSO? Do you first program a piece and then look for a soloist who has that in their repertoire, or do you choose a soloist first and let the programming follow?
That's a great question. It depends. There are some artists who I find out that they are touring with a certain piece of music, and maybe we can get a value on them if we program that
value
work.
Is good,
right? Or they're making a recording of a work and they want to do some live performances. In this case, I wanted to do the Brook Concerto on this because, again, it's as a season opener. I think it's a great season opener. This is such an inspired piece of music, and it's so beautiful. And then Evgeny Kutik came to my attention. It was kind of in the similar to the Gandolfi story. His name just kept popping up, first recommended by a colleague of mine, and then just showing up kind of here and there, getting glimpses of him. And then we engaged him. And shortly after, there's a big write-up in the New York Times, and then he ends up on Fresh Air as well. So we clearly were in the right rhythm of that. So he's an emerging artist and an extraordinary young musician, and he's got a great story to tell, too.
Of the big German romantic violin concertos by Beethoven, Brahms, Mendelssohn, and Bruch, violinist Josef Joachim, who played all of them hundreds of times, called the Bruch the richest and most seductive of them. It's chock full of gorgeous, rich melodies. Where is the seduction?
Well, I think the seduction is in the character of some of the melodies. And that just draw the listener in a very powerful way. There are some remarkably intimate moments in this piece. this era of Romanticism, Brooks' era of Romanticism, this kind of stands a little bit on its own in the character of the music, and I think that seduction has to do with the character of some of those musical moments.
My guest is Timothy Muffett, conductor and music director of the Lansing Symphony Orchestra. On now to the final work on the program. Tchaikovsky began his Fifth Symphony in June of 1888, fresh off a very successful four-month-long concert tour of the European capitals that had him conducting his own music and wining and dining with fellow composers and other important society members. He was 48 and fatigued when he returned, but also inspired to write a new symphony. But this was also a time of kind of a midlife crisis for him and self-doubt. It's thought that the theme of the Fifth Symphony, like the Fourth, is fate. Do you see that being the theme of this work?
There clearly is a programmatic element to this piece, even though it's an unspoken one. And because that opening theme comes back in every movement, and it appears in different guises. It appears in sort of an ominous, foreboding guise, and then at the end of the symphony, it's quite triumphant, really. I think one could make an argument for fate. I'm not sure that I think about music that way as a performer. And the fate idea is one that has been loved, that is popular to throw out there in many composers. But there does seem to be a programmatic element to this piece of music, as is often the case in Tchaikovsky, if we think of the Pathetic Symphony as well, the Sixth Symphony. So there may be a case for that. I tend to not take maybe an extra musical approach to my thought about this music, but there is an awareness of that.
The theme starts out in a dark, brooding manner played by the solo clarinet. That theme figures in every movement until it's transformed in the final movement. Take us through the symphony.
Right. Okay, so we get this idea presented right there. And it's very straightforward, very direct. And kind of in a brilliant orchestrational moment, he uses two clarinets to play that passage. And so there's a, it becomes not quite so personal, but there is a, There's one step removed by the fact that it's two players playing, and there's a specific color that we get that would be different from one player playing. They're playing in unison, of course. In the second movement, which is a very lyrical, largely optimistic, heartfelt movement,
that almost a love song.
Absolutely, yes. And in fact, I think someone turned it into one, actually.
Really?
Yes. might have been John Denver. And that theme appears as an interruption, and a very abrupt interruption, and in a very ominous and almost aggressive tone. So here's a good case for the fate concept, and certainly a good case for a programmatic approach, because there'd be no absolute music reason for this to just show up, right? You're in this idyllic moment, and then boom, out of nowhere, there's an expectation. It happens in the form of the symphony. We've gone through this passage, and it continues in a certain way, and that passage reappears, and we're expecting it to continue in a certain very dolcissimo way, but this theme comes back, comes in at as a total interruption, full orchestra, and it's very jarring indeed. The third movement, we have a waltz, basically, as in a very typical Tchaikovskyan sense, it's elegant and flowing and beautiful. And the theme comes back at the very end, almost as an afterthought. We haven't heard it yet in the movement, and we've had a very clear set of expectations of what we're going to hear, and then this makes its appearance as a reminder, as having a presence. And finally, in the last movement, it begins the last movement as well, not as it did the beginning of the symphony in E minor, but now in E major. So it takes on a new a new tone, and then it comes back in a very triumphant way with full orchestra at the end of the symphony, also in the major key. So we see a transformation, kind of as we do in Liszt and Berlioz, this idea of thematic transformation over the course of the symphony.
Timothy Muffett, thanks for joining us today. We wish you a great new season ahead with the LSO.
Thank you, Jody. It's always a pleasure to be here.
For Current State, I'm Jody Newell.
And tonight's Masterworks 1 Lansing Symphony Orchestra concert is at MSU's Wharton Center starting at 8. Before that, Jody Newell will be joined by violinist Yevgeny Kutik for a preview conversation held in the Jackson National Lounge at 7:15.